I'd like to give you a little thought today. I'm going to try to have a thought for you every Sunday, okay? Something to help us. You know, sometimes our actions get a little bit dull, right? And we know we should do things, but sometimes we forget because of rush, because of whatever reason we may have. But some things in life that are really important as far as our own character and also helping someone else. And so I'm going to give you a little thoughts every Sunday morning before we start on manners. Manners, okay? You know what manners are? Way we conduct ourselves, okay? In the presence of other people. It's very important. And we've been taught manners. I have all my life, and I hope I will all the rest of my life, because I need sometimes to sharpen up a little bit. I really do. And this is not to point out anybody, okay, what I'm fixing to say, but it's to help us all. And maybe the way we'll approach people and things that we do. So our thought today is be quick to say, and it's be quick to say, excuse me, or I'm sorry. Okay? Be quick to say what? Excuse me, or I'm sorry. Be quick to say those words sometimes when we're in public, as well as at home. Sometimes it needs to be expressed everywhere we are. So again, that's just a thought today as before we get into our lesson. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah again. Isaiah chapter 6. Last week we started on a thought, a vision of God. A vision of God, seeing God. I said last week, and I'll say again today, I could see God the way He wants me to see Him. God wants me to know Him. God wants me to love Him. And I trust that God would enable us to maybe have a little bit better vision of God as who He really is and who He wants to be to each one of us in our lives. Folks, God is so good to us. He is. He's so good to us. He provides for us things that we need in our life. He's provided for us His so great salvation that we can be forgiven of our sins and that we can become a child of God. And not only that, He's provided us a book that we can come to know Him, and also not just to know Him, but to live for Him, to know how to live for Him. I mean, God is so good. He provides for us every day. He's given us an opportunity to be together here in this place. He's given us this air-conditioned building to sit in. You know, I mean, we could go on and on and on how good God is. But I wonder sometimes, do I really know who God is? Do I really know who God is? Do I see Him as He is? One day we know we will see Him. We read that last Sunday in 1 John chapter 3. Now we look through a glass darkly, but one day we're going to see Him face to face, and we're going to see Him as He is, as He is. But it's my prayer and my desire to see Him better each day in my life, that He might become so real to me that I can't resist telling others about Him. You know, He's so precious to me. He's so good to me that I want others to know about Him also. A vision for God. Do I see God as who He is? We asked two questions last week. Who is God? And who is God to you? Two important questions. I challenge you this week. Get you two pieces of paper. Write who is God on one, who is God to me on another, and fill it out this week. Now you and I may evaluate ourselves as far as how well we do know God and who God is. I'm glad today to know that we sometimes can't comprehend God, but I said we can know God. I'm glad we can know Him. We know Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know Him personally, and I'm glad for that today. Now, in Isaiah chapter number 6, I'm going to read four verses here, and we're going to pray. And then we're going to ask God to help us today to review a little bit and also see something that God showed His prophet here. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning with verse number 1 again. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the serpents. Each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you for this word, your word that we have to read. Lord, help us today to get from this passage, Lord, what you would have us to get. Lord, that we might, Lord, begin to see you as who you really are. God, thank you for the word of God that reveals a little bit to us of who you are. We know, Lord, you're much more than we can read in your word. Lord, we're thankful that we have the Word of God to help us to see you through your Son. Father, may the Holy Spirit now lead us and teach us today as we focus upon your Word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse number 1, we see that Israel now was without a king. Their king had died. Uzziah had died, but Israel was not without God. Isn't that good to know? Yeah. I mean, you know, we get attached to people, and we should. We love people that lead us and teach us and do things for us. But when God takes them on away, we still are not without God. He's still present with us. And I look at our country today, and I look at our leaders today, and I see a picture of this, where we are. But we as God's people need to focus on the fact that we still have God in America. God is still with us. And we should be praying that God, that America as a whole would never forget God. Many people have, but maybe America as a whole has not, I hope, and pray. We need to be praying for that as well as praying for our leaders today, because we all need to continue to see God as who he is. But we see here a scene that Isaiah is writing, that God revealed to him. As we look at the scene, I want to look at it twofold this morning. We went over this last Sunday some. But first of all, I want to see what this scene means to me or to you. And then we're going to look at it as through Isaiah, what it meant to Isaiah. You know, God's word always speaks to us if we'll allow it to. No matter where we're reading at, the Word of God is for me. It's for you. And we can learn a lot if we just take heed to what God says through His Word. First of all, we see that this scene, this understanding, as we look at a scene here, we can understand the character of God. In other words, when we see God, it changes everything about how we live when we see Him as who He really is. When I got saved, I began to think different. I began to want different. My life's views were changed completely whenever I got saved. So when we see God, seeing God does something to us, it should affect us in a positive way, in a good way, that we might want to be more like Him. So we see, first of all here, this theme here in Isaiah chapter 6 is helping us to see God, and seeing God is able to change things and how we live. We're going to see this in Isaiah, but let's look at it as ourselves first. We also see the purpose of this vision, this scene that we're reading about here, is to give us a vision of God and who He really is. To see God as He really is. The Bible tells us this. We also, this scene is going to help us, as I said last week, to get rid of the false views of God that we are being taught in the world today, that we might live the life that God wants us to live. I really believe with all my heart that many of us are not living like God wants us to live because we're paying attention to false views of who God is and who He really wants to be to us in our lives. We also see that this scene here is going to help us to show us the vision of God, that we might change the views that we have, the views that we have of God, of ourselves. Who am I? Who am I? And what does God want from me? What does God want me to do? See, God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for my life. And when we get a clear vision of who God is, view ourselves the way God wants us to be viewed. And therefore, we may change the way we live. We also see that seeing here and this vision here will also change the way we help others that are around us. You know, isn't it a joy to be able to help somebody that's around you, to try to encourage them in some way? It really is a joy. And God wants us to be that way. So again, we see here, this vision is for me, it's for you. It's not just for Isaiah, but it is for him. But it's also for us. I'm trying to say to you, the Word of God is for us individually. We can apply it to our lives if we'll ask God to help us to see what He wants us to see from the Word that He's given to us. Now, look in verse number one again. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the serpents. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. We see here an awesome vision. Isaiah, I said last week, he had a vision of a throne. The throne of God. An eternal throne of God. The king, high and lifted up in his dominion. We find there that he saw him. And what an awesome thing this might be. God simply opened up heaven for Isaiah to see what he wanted him to see. He opened up heaven so he could see him. See exactly what he wanted him to see. And I said last week, and I reemphasize today, that as Isaiah saw this vision, all the vastness of it, the glory, and all that was there, there was one thing that outstood everything that Isaiah saw about God, and that was His holiness. His holiness. God is holy. God is very holy, and we're going to realize this today. Now, as Isaiah saw this vision, he saw the vision that God revealed to him here. How did this affect Isaiah? How does it affect him? First of all, we find that God was preparing or establishing a prophet, Isaiah, to be a prophet for his people. He's trying to prepare him to be a prophet for the nation of Israel. Now, they're without king. You know, it's an amazing thing to me how God always prepares a man. He always prepares somebody to lead his people, to guide his people. And now here he is trying to give Isaiah a picture of what he wants him to do. He's giving him that through this vision. Also, he's also trying to help Isaiah it's intended for Isaiah to confirm his faith in God. He wants Isaiah to look to him for all that he needs in leading his people. God says, Isaiah, I'm going to help you. I'm going to lead you. In all that you do here now, you just do what I ask you to do in leading my people. Isaiah saw this. This is what God is trying to do for Isaiah. And notice that it's at the right time. It's at the time when Israel does not have a king. They do not have a king. And God is preparing this man now to be the prophet, to be the leader here, see. So again, we see this in this passage of Scripture. Notice he says, in verse number 2, above, that is the temple, above the the eternal glory that they saw there stood the serpents. That's, we know, angelic beings. And notice they had six wings, two over their face, two over their feet, and two to fly with. Amazing, amazing characters that God created. You know, God knows how to create what he needs when he needs it. And here they are, the angels, created in this fashion. And notice what these angels did. We don't know how many angels there was, but we know there was more than one, because it says in verse number 3, one cried unto another. There had to be at least two. Had to be at least two. But one cried unto another, the Bible says, and said what? Holy, holy, holy. As Isaiah was looking, these angels were speaking, is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And because of the outburst of the holy, 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 and all that, the Bible says in verse number 4 that the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. My, what an awesome vision, what an awesome sight Isaiah saw as he saw the Lord God of heaven and who he was. Now, what are we seeing here? God is using this scene, if you please. He's using this scene to Isaiah here to help him to realize that he wants him to deliver a message to his people. God is preparing Isaiah to deliver a message to his people. Now, not only to him, as we look at him, also he wants us to understand something. He wants us to understand and to know that God's holiness never changes. He's always been holy. He always will be holy. God changes not. He changes not. And we find here, this is the message he's trying to convey to Isaiah to prepare him to go and to tell, to go and to present to the people, God's people. Now, we know here that God had to fix Isaiah's mind first on him, that is God, before Isaiah would be ready to go and do what God wanted him to do. In other words, Isaiah's mind had to be upon God, first of all. And we see in Isaiah's mind, here was a picture of who God was and now what God wanted him to do and what God wanted him to do. He was prepared. He was, you know, it's one thing to do something, but it's another thing to know what you're to do, right? And therefore, God always prepares people to do what he wants them to do, and he tells them what to do. Look at Noah. God prepared Noah. God helped Noah. He told him exactly what to do in building the ark and all that. God doesn't leave us without knowing what to do. He instructs us and guides us and helps us to be able to do what he wants us to do for his honor and for his glory. So we see here, before God showed him what to do, he had to fix in his mind who he was, who God was to Isaiah. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Leviticus chapter 11. Holy, 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 Lord God of all. Leviticus chapter number 11. Look at verse number 44 and 45. The Bible says, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy. For I am holy, neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Now the word holy means to set apart. So sanctify. God is holy. Now, when we become a Christian, we're to be set apart. We're to be sanctified. We're to be holy like God is holy. And therefore, we find that God is trying to help us to see how we are to be. When Isaiah saw the holiness of God, it changed his life. It changed his ministry when he saw God. And I said a while ago, when we meet God, He's going to change us if we personally meet Him. Now, we may say we met Him and didn't meet Him, but when we genuinely meet God, He's going to change us. He's going to help us to be different. He's going to help us to be different. And we find here, this is exactly what happened with Isaiah. When we see God, when we see God ourselves, we're going to find the first thing that changes about us. The first thing that changes about us when we see God is the fact that we lose our sense of satisfaction of who we are. We will not be satisfied as who we are. We won't be condemned, I'm not saying that, but we want to be more like God when we see God. We're going to want to be more like God. I mean, it's something that went. When we get a clear vision of God, God reveals to us who we really are. I may think I know myself, but I don't know myself. Not really the way God knows me. But when God reveals to me who I am, then there's an awakening to me of who I am. And I realize that, you know, I want to change. I want to be different because God helps me to be different. Are we glad? Listen, I'm so glad today to know that God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be like Him. And when we're running our course in life and start, we gradually change because we don't even realize it, and all of a sudden God has a man, or God has a message for us somewhere, somehow, to reveal to us where we are at and how we need to be changed. I'm glad that God guides us in our lives and corrects us to help us to be more like Him. I don't want to keep going backwards. I want to at least be going forward if I can. I don't want to stand still, but I want to be going forward and understanding who God is and what He wants me to be in my life. I don't want to be going backwards. I don't want to be going backwards. But you know, really, the standard, what I'm saying for the Christian life, folks, listen, the standard is not what those around us are doing. Did you get it? The standard for the Christian life is not what those around us are doing. Let's don't look at it that way. That's not the standard. The standard is God's Word. It's God's Word. Because God is holy. God is holy. Society places great values on self-esteem. I said this last week. I'll say it again. Esteeming yourself, that's good, society says. But we hear also about the need to feel good about ourselves, and we should not condemn ourselves. But on the other hand, sometimes we want to be honored, but the Bible tells us that God wants the glory for Himself. God wants the glory for Himself. We need to glorify God. That's why we're here, folks. We're not here to glorify ourselves or even one another. We're here to glorify God. Listen, God is worthy. He's worthy. We are not. Our righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. And to Him be the glory for what He is doing and what He's going to do in our lives. God is holy. Holy, holy, holy. Now, let's look at how God manifests His holiness. How does God make known to us His holiness? I said last week, and I'll say it again. The one thing that God wants us to remember about Him and to know about Him, if you want to nail down the number one attribute or characteristic about God, He wants us to remember Him as not just a God of love, not just a God to provide for us, but a God who is holy. A God who is holy. He wants us to remember that all the days of our life. He's holy. He's holy. I can't say it enough. God is holy, and He wants us to remember that. When we think not much about God being holy, we're thinking a lot of sin. But when we focus on God is holy, we're going to do like God. We're going to hate sin. I'm not saying the sinner, but we're going to hate sin. We're going to not want to be around it. We're not going to want to be around it. Again, we're creatures of gradualism, And if we're not careful, we'll be caught. We'll be caught in this act of taking a light sin and not taking it sincere as God would have us to. See, people today, if you don't believe it, you start trying to visit people and try to win them to Christ. People take salvation lightly today. What is that to me? I don't need that. You know why? Because they don't realize that God is holy. They don't know. They haven't been heard. They haven't heard that God is holy and that God is righteous. See? But when you get a glimpse, and when I get a glimpse of a little bit about what we can, the holiness of God, it's going to do something to us. It's going to stir us up. It's going to awaken us to reality of who I really am. I'm a sinner. I'm lost, undone, without Christ. But the world today can't see that. Satan has got them blinded. Folks, it's so sad today. The average person who you confront out there on visitation or the grocery store, wherever you, if you talk to people about the Lord, the average person knows very little about God as who he is. They picture him as somebody in heaven. As somebody said one time, that's like a grandfather sitting on a throne, just waiting for his children to just say, what you want, and I'll give it to you. No, that's not God. That's a distorted view of who he is. God's in heaven. God is holy. God wants you and I to be holy, sanctified, set apart, to bring honor and glory to him and not to ourselves. Let's don't get caught in the trap, folks. Let's don't get caught in the trap of not bringing glory to God. Not bringing glory to God. So we see here, people today do think lightly of salvation. How does God manifest his holiness? First of all, he manifests his holiness by his works, what he does. Look at the creation. He created the whole world, and it was what? Good. Everything he created, he said it was good, 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 good. Everything was good. He manifests his holiness in good. Today, you go out, if you got fruit trees or something around, you can see butterflies. My, aren't they beautiful? They're beautiful. You can see all kinds of things that God has created. It's perfect. It's good. I mean, that's the way God, who God is. He's that way, you see. He manifests his holiness by his works, what he does. He also manifests his holiness by his laws. The laws he has given to us. There's not a single untruth in the whole of God's law. No untruth whatsoever. God's law manifests God's holiness. His holiness. Also, we see God's holiness manifested in how he hates sin. God hates sin. Look what he did to his son. He turned his back on his own son when Jesus became sin for you and I. He hates sin. He manifests himself, his holiness in that. We tolerate sin, even sins of one another. And we should be graceful to people that are in sin. But I'm afraid sometimes we don't say enough tactfully and spiritually enough, especially sometimes around our relatives and friends that we know that are in sin. You know, we need to warn them, folks. We need to let them know, hey, this is wrong. But we're living in a time now that we're afraid we're going to offend anybody when we say anything about sin. And God delivers from that. I'm not saying not doing it tactfully and rightfully, but I'm afraid sometimes we don't warn people enough. We don't warn them enough. We're tolerating sin everywhere we go, you know. And we'll never take a stand against sin. But God hates sin. He hates sin. And we know this is manifested in his holiness here. God hates sin. He doesn't hate the sinner. Turn to Psalms chapter 5. We've heard that. God hates sin, but he doesn't hate the sinner. Look at Psalm chapter 5. I can find it here. Psalm 5, verse 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou hatest who? All workers of iniquity. That's what God says. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. We say so many times, God hates sin, and he doesn't hate the sinner. What God's word says, he hates the workers of iniquity. He hates the workers of iniquity. What is he saying? God hates the sinner because of his sin, not because of himself. He hates sinners because of his sin and not because of himself. When people have sin in their lives and they're living ungodly, God hates that. He hates it because of his holiness. God is holy. God is holy, folks. He really is. So we see that God, his holiness is manifested by his hatred of sin, by his love of righteousness. God loves righteousness as much as he hates sin. You know that? He does. He loves righteousness. He loves for us to live right and be right and do right. He loves that. He wants us to be right. The only righteousness we have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ in us. That's all. But he loves righteousness in us. We also see that God's holiness is manifested by his justification of the believing sinner. His justification of the believing sinner. If I was where I deserve to be, I'd be in hell. There's no merit I have to even know God, much less enter heaven. Nothing. And we see that because of his justification of the believing sinner, we see God's holiness. God's holiness. See, it's the mercy and grace of God which offers to us God's plan of salvation. His mercy and his grace, if received, the believing sinner is made righteous. If not believed, he's still unrighteous. He's still unrighteous. He's still in his sin without God if he does not believe. So we see that God's holiness is manifested by his works. God's holiness is manifested by his laws, by his hatred of sin, by his love of righteousness, by his justification of the believers, and also by his care of his saints. He cares about us. Turn to Psalm 139. We see God's holiness manifested in his care for his children. Psalm 129. Verse 1. Many a time how they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say, many a time how they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He has cast asunder the cords of the wicked. Thank God today that he cares about his saints. Whatever we're facing in our life, just remember this, God loves you. God cares for you. And his holiness is manifested in that fact. He cares for you. He cares about you. No matter what you're going through with your life now. Also, we see his holiness is manifested by his cross. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ manifests his holiness to us today. We see Christ's death is a perfect manifestation of God's holiness. How he gave himself for us. Jesus never became a sinner, but he did become sin. He became sin for you. He became sin for me, that you and I might be forgiven of our sins and know God and know Christ as our Savior. God forsook his Son. Don't forget that. God forsook his son, for God will always forsake sin. He always forsakes sin. And the very fact that he forsook his own son, because he became sin for you and I. God's holiness simply does not change. It will not change. There's nothing that can change the holiness of God. Nothing at all. And as our pastor's going through on Wednesday nights, how people in the last 25 years have tried to revise and rewrite the Word of God and change it. They can write it all they want to differently, but it ain't going to change God's holy law. He's still holy. He's still on the throne. And there's nothing that we can do to change God's mind. I thank God for that. He is God. He's God. And we are his children, we're saved. Folks, we're undone. We are undone if there be not a mediator between us and a holy God. You know that? We have no hope. But thank God for our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that came and died for us, that we might know him, we might know God, and God might reveal himself to us, that we might live for him while we're here on this earth. The holiness of God. Isaiah saw the holiness of God. And it changed his life. It changed his ministry. And I really believe if I myself would get a true vision of who God is and who God wants me to know about him, my life would be different. My life would be different. I'm not saying I would change careers. I'm not saying that I would change a lot of things, but my life would just simply be different. Because I think I will love him more because I realize who he is. God wants me to know him. God wants you to know him. But the question is this, do I want to know God? Do I want to know God? Our vision for God is so important in our lives today. May the Lord help us today as we focus upon this thought, a vision for God, a vision for God. Today we've talked about Isaiah saw God. Next week we're going to talk about the rest of this chapter in Isaiah chapter 6, how Isaiah saw himself, how he saw himself. After he saw God, now he sees himself, okay? And then later on in this chapter we're going to see how Isaiah, after he saw himself, he saw God, then himself, and then we're going to see how Isaiah saw his people. His people. See, there's important steps here. Until we see God, we can't see ourselves. Until we see God, we can't see other people as God would have us to. Okay? We have to see God first in order to see ourselves as who we really are, and also for the people around us who they really are. So it's very important that we get this step down first of who God is. And we get a vision of who God is and how holy God is. I thank God today for the Word of God that he's revealed to us. How he gives us examples to help us to be what we ought to be. That we somehow may bring glory to him in our lives as we live for him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for this portion of Scripture. Lord, I sure need your help. Lord, as we try to go through this, and Lord, there's no way that we can, Lord, understand you. But Lord, I thank you that we can know you. But God, we're thankful for the word that you've allowed us to have here that we might get a little understanding of who you are. And God, may the Holy Spirit of God be our teacher as we go through this. Lord, that we might see you. Lord, it's who you really are. God, I know you want to reveal yourself to us. And God, give us the heart to want to know who you are. God, that somehow you might change us. Lord, we're living in the latter days. Lord, we're living in a day that the people in this world need to see a genuine example. And God, we know that we are so far from that good example. But Lord, help us to strive, Lord, to be a little better every day. God, that you might use us somehow, Lord, to bring glory to you. Thank you for the word of God to instruct us, to guide us. Lord, I pray you bless your people today as they've come together. Lord, may we go away, Lord, focusing upon how we can see you more, how we can see you better. And God, how it's going to help us if we do. It'll change our insight of who we are and how we can help others. And God, that we can bring glory to you. Father, bless now the service we're about to go into. As our preacher, as he preaches the word of God, give him power. Lord, also bless the singing. Lord, if there's one in our midst that's lost today, I pray somehow the Spirit of God would draw that individual to you before it's too late. Lord, most of all, we want you to be honored. We want you to be glorified in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Dismissed.